Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 what is up, everyone? Hopefully everyone is having a fantastic Tuesday. We've got a lot to get into today. I owe you something. I gave you the ultimate tease yesterday. Gave you a couple things I said we talk about. Cam Newton. Get more into the OBJ situation. Got some sounds with the Jets. The not scoring stuff I didn't really touch like I wanted to. NFL trades I want to get into. NFL playoffs I want to get into. Chicago Bears played like crap last night. I want to get into that. Got sound from that as well. All right here on the Cave Show with PLR. So I do want to take a couple of phone calls as well. A lot of stuff today. A lot of stuff going on. World Series resumes tonight. So there's a lot of stuff that we are ready to get into. And then a quote I want to give you as well from Danny Green, who plays with the LA Lakers. And he touched upon load management. And the NBA season begins on December 22nd. He expects there to be a lot of load managing. So I want to kind of break that down because I kind of want to break down this whole NBA season thing. So like I said, we've got a lot of show to get into, a lot of stuff to do, a lot of topics. And unlike yesterday, we're getting them all in. So let's get this rolling. This is the Cave Show with PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Go ahead and definitely check them out. Let them know PLR sent you. Get 10% off your cigar purchase. Become a club member. Get access to the member lounge. That gives you access to a locker to keep your sticks in. Make sure they don't go bad. You also have several couches, tons of TVs, refrigerator, wine cooler. All this stuff is back there at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And don't forget, they do serve beer and wine. So you can have your adult beverage. Enjoy your stick. Watch all the games. They have all the league passes for all the sports. If you can't get down there, no worries. Make sure you give them a call at, give them an online at Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. Go online if you can't get down there. Order your sticks. If you get online quick enough, they go out the exact same day. So all that happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, let them know PLR sent you. 10% off your cigar purchase. So I played that yesterday. It's the Chicago Bears fight song. That was obviously before the Bears crapped the bed. And like I said, we'll definitely get into that again a little bit later. Yes, I'm not very happy. I will take some calls real quick, though, because like I said, we got a lot of stuff to get into today, and I don't want to leave anything out. Calling number 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828, Kerry Lackey Law Line. Do have a call on hold. Thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Lou, what's up, my man? How are you?
Well, I wasn't so crazy about that Bears loss last night myself. You know, for my brother's sake, because he is a Bears fan, and they just played horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't one of the best nights at all. And like I said, I have a lot of stuff to get into with that, a lot of stuff that really irritated me. But, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I get what Danny Green was trying to say about, you know, with the big guys not wanting to play. I mean, all right. The NBA Finals ended October 11th, which wasn't really that long ago when you think about it, and the season started December 22nd, because that's only like about 8 weeks from the time between you last played and playing your first regular season game, maybe even with the preseason. So I get it. But at the same time, I mean, look, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm starving for stuff to come back, you know, basketball. I don't know when hockey's going to come back or not. So, look, let's just try to get this over with and we can get back to playing as normal as we possibly can. I mean, we've suffered enough this year with the virus and whatnot. Let's just get back to the normal as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, I just think that's going to be a hard sell to fans. And yeah. I'm an NBA guy to the heart. I truly am. One of the joys that I've had over the last 9 years is that I've covered the Phoenix Suns. And is honestly, out of all the things that I do, it's one of my absolute favorite covers. And it always has been. The Suns are an incredible team. They're very polite. They're very giving, especially to the media. They're very accessible. They do a lot to work with us. I just think the players are missing it right now. And I understand the tight turnaround. I truly do understand the tight turnaround. But I think they're missing it with this one. And I think even by verbalizing it, you're going to miss a lot of people in feeling bad for you. I understand what they're saying. The top players have sacrificed a lot. But then you also got to remember, only the top players from a couple teams are really the ones that are going to be affected by it. A lot of other teams have been gone. They exited the bubble quickly. So if you're a team like the Clippers, I'll just pick on the Clippers. Their biggest problem was cohesiveness. So if they start getting into load management to start the season in December when they were eliminated, I forget exactly what day they were eliminated, that's going to be a hard sell, not just to them, but to their fans. Because you were part of the thing is you were eliminated because of lack of cohesiveness. Well, part of the reason you had a lack of cohesiveness is because you load managed so much during the season that you never really had an opportunity to play together.
That's right.
That's a problem. So, you know, like I said, maybe it's just me, but if they left the bubble in early October, I don't see why that would be a problem. I'm just being honest, coming from my point of view. And I don't play, so my body isn't the one, you know, going through everything, so I can understand how they could be telling me to shut the hell up. But if I'm not mistaken, they were done back in September. So if they were done back in September, why would they need load management? Now, that gives you all of October, all of November. You're not going to do training camp the same way you did training camp. I'm sure that's going to be a lot less strenuous on everyone. So you have those 3-4 months. If you play through June, which would have normally been the time, you get off you get off July, August, and then you get back in camp in September because the season moved up to, you know, early in October because players complained about back-to-backs. So you're not that far off. And if you're a team like the Phoenix Suns, who I cover, you've been out of the bubble basically since late August. So
that's right.
Like I said, same with Portland, same with some of these other teams. So I think you have to be careful with the message that you're sending.
Yes, I do, sure. Speaking of being told to shut up, I mean, I don't think Jerry Jones, was in his right mind when he told a reporter from a sports station to say that. I mean, the report did get on his nerves, but at the same time, I mean, you don't go to the show and say, shut up.
Jerry Jones is worth billions with the B. Let me say this again. He's worth billions with the B. He owns the most expensive sports franchise in sports.
Yes.
And he did not, and I say this politely, if you want to take it that way, in terms of Jerry Jones, billionaires don't get to be billionaires by always being polite.
No, they don't.
Get to be billionaires by always taking into consideration other people's feelings. So you have this guy, and let's paint this whole picture. You have this guy that's up in years, whose Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since the early 90s. And
yes, I was young
as the owner, if we're really being honest, Jerry isn't really credited with those Super Bowls. Everyone that remembers that credits Jimmy Johnson with those Super Bowls.
Correct.
With those
yes.
Super Bowl wins. So part of Jerry's pissing contest was bringing in Barry Switzer to say, look, we can win with anyone. Well, anyone with common sense knows all Barry did was win with Jimmy's guys. All Barry did,
yeah.
Barry didn't call plays. He didn't set up schemes. He was a figurehead, so Jerry Jones could have that contest. And I don't want to say that because your kids will think
right.
that size
yeah.
contest to say basically, see, I told you. But anybody with real sense knows Barry Switzer had nothing to do with anything. So he's been chasing this title that's been elusive for basically 25 years. And they won only a couple playoff games during that time with him in charge as the owner and the GM. His son is the COO. He has his hand and his family has their hands over everything. And they haven't reached that same level of success since Jimmy's been gone. So he's up in age. And if we're being honest, he knows he doesn't have another 15 years on earth to see his Cowboys
gotcha.
Win. And this is a year where everything is supposed to be a go. They signed Zeke to a lot of money last year. They had contention with Dak, but Dak was a good soldier and signed the franchise and came in. They got Amari. They got a new coach. They got a new defensive coordinator. This was supposed to be the year, and they're being embarrassed every week. So he's frustrated. And that doesn't give him a right to talk to people however he wants. But at the same time, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, now you got a lot of stuff to get into, so I'll just leave it at that. And if we have a game 7 tomorrow, I'll bring it up, and if we don't, I'll wrap it up for you.
Lou, just remember, tomorrow we record early. It's the same day show, plays at 1, but we record early, so we're back 1 o'clock live on Thursday. But like I said, tomorrow's show is live. It's just we record early, not sure of the time. It just plays at 1.
All right, well, I'll try maybe at the end of the King Gage tomorrow. I'll try it Thursday.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks.
Your friend of the program, Lou. Listen, we got to get to commercial, but before I get to commercial, I want to go back to this NBA thing and bring this back up again because I want to get some substance to what I was talking about with the NBA and kind of missing it on this. And I want to just kind of read this quote real quick. Danny Green said, if we start in December, I think most guys are like, I'm not going to be there. And this is what he said to The Ringer, an NBA show podcast. If I had to guess, because we have a lot of vets on our team, it's not like we have a lot of young guys or rookies to have that quick of a restart. I wouldn't expect to see LeBron there. I would expect to see him probably for the first month of the season. He'll probably be working out with us, but I just don't expect guys to want to be there or show up willingly. Think at this moment, and it might be different in 2 weeks when guys are like, all right, I'm going to get back in the gym and start working out. When we get back in the gym, it's not right to basketball. It's all right, let me start getting into shape, lifting a little bit, start running around a little bit. Then I'll pick up a ball. Okay. This is where the NBA loses a lot of their casual fans. We're in a pandemic. And in a pandemic, a lot of people are uncomfortable in their situations doing a lot of things. And for Danny Green to come out, and it's the truth, so I'm not dogging him for telling the truth, but nobody wants to watch Danny Green run up and down the court with the Lakers. And I'm just being flat out honest. If you turn on a Lakers game, you want to see AD, you want to see LeBron, maybe there's a couple other players. You don't want to see Danny Green and Caruso running up and down the court. That's not how you hold on to your viewers. That's not how the NBA holds on to this. Load management is a terrible practice. It is an absolute terrible practice. It does not build cohesiveness for a team. We see that with the Clippers. It does not bring that extra fan to your sport when you need those eyes. The NBA has a real opportunity to do some different things. That's why for the longest time I've said the NBA plays at the wrong time of the year. The NBA season should start in January, and it should end around July or August. It shouldn't start in October in the middle of football and then end in June. It's long. Start in January. Football is wrapping up. If you start in January when football is wrapping up, you own February and March. March is spring training. No one's really worried about spring training. Let's just be honest. Then when you end your season, you're in the dog days of baseball. It's summer. People will be watching. But you got to play games. If the Arizona Cardinals were selling tickets the other day for their game on Sunday night against Seattle, and some tickets were going for as much as $1,300, $1,400, which is nuts for a regular season game. An NBA season, if it's starts in December, and your showcase games will come out the gate on Christmas Day, how are you going to sell that if your top-tier players don't even want to play for a month? I'm not on Danny Green for telling the truth. I'm on the NBA players, if they really feel that way, alienating your true fans, and especially the casual fans, because then you become the afterthought. Oh, LeBron's not going to play for a month. I'll pass on watching the Lakers for a month. Oh, he'll play a little bit. They'll just cut his minutes. I'm not with that. I'm already not with load management. Not with that at all. And this is where we get back into me saying, and being old man, get off my lawn, old dudes didn't do that. They played. And that's why I have a real problem with, not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons I have a problem with classifying anybody that plays in this era as quote-unquote the greatest. There was no load management. You played. Your stars got you out of the training rooms and got your ass back on the court. You played. If you didn't play then, you were hurt. You didn't play just, it's January and it's the second game of a back-to-back. I'm going to save you. You played back-to-back. You flew commercial. And people can say what they want, and they can call me what they want. I really don't care at this point. But I'm just going to be honest. Guys were tougher. And they were mentally tougher. And I know, oh, but you don't understand all the other stuff they do and the assets and the money that they're worth. I get it. And you got to put money, relatively speaking, too. Teams weren't worth billions of dollars. So the salary that they got was comparable percentage-wise to what the team was worth. When Big Dog Glenn Robinson signed a contract for about $85 million and the Milwaukee Bucks were only worth $2.5 million, well, guess what? He had a large percentage of that.
So things are comparable. So guys make a lot more money, and they talk about TV revenue, and they want to have people around and have them for the playoffs. The NBA has to be careful that they don't do what the NCAA has done to college basketball. They put so much emphasis on a tournament, the regular season means nothing. No one really watches college basketball in the regular season because the emphasis is only on the tournament. If you only put the emphasis on the playoffs and you expect to play an 82-game schedule, you are rendering your season worthless. If you have to guess when a player is going to play, you don't want to spend money. If they're going to only allow a certain amount of fans in, if they allow fans in, and the Lakers come to town, and you have to decide if you're going to spend $200, $300 on a ticket or take your family out, if you're a hardworking, everyday person, and spend $200 to take you and your kids to a game before you buy the $12 pop, before you buy the $18 popcorn, and before you buy a hot dog that costs $14, you got to decide in your mind if you're going to roll the dice tonight, because this might be the night that the Stars decide to load manage and they're still getting their check. NBA, bad look. Terrible look. True to say, I'm glad you said it, stupid thought pattern. Idiotic thought pattern. Don't alienate your fans now. This is not the time. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for hanging out with me this fine Tuesday afternoon. As we get back and jump right back into the fray here on The Cave Show with PLR. If you ever miss any part of the show, make sure you're checking us out. KSRN, Casual Sports Radio Network. Download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. The replay is at 3 o'clock, so make sure that you are checking us out. If you do miss any part of the show, anything whatsoever, you can always go to thesportscave.com. Cave is with a K. Hit that listen live button. We pop right up. Show comes on. You're checking us out. You're doing your thing. If it is not 1 o'clock and you hit that button, you get a plethora of shows that will pop up. Choose one that maybe you listened to before and you like. Choose one that you never listened to. Maybe you missed a day, which you should never miss a day. But go ahead and click on it and check us out. Also on the website, we have some of our favorite interviews, favorite shows, right on the left-hand side. Click, download, listen live from everywhere, either BTR or KSRN. Okay, so I know I was real passionate about that, really wrapped up into what I was just saying with this NBA. Like I said, I don't know what else to do with the NBA with this load management thing. It really bugs the shit out of me. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that load management takes place and it's embraced. It's not good. I'm telling you, it is not good for your fans. Right now, especially right now in a pandemic, it is not good, especially if you want to charge people to come in and see you and then have to guess if the star is playing. And everyone says, well, if they're on the road, they should play, and if they're home, it's different. Have you ever been to L.A.? Before I got into this, I went to see the Lakers play the Bulls every year. That was my routine. I went out there to see the Bulls play the Lakers. I'm talking early 2000s, mid-2000s, let's say that. There was a game back then, 15 years ago. I wasn't nowhere near the floor. I had really good seats. And because of a mishap, the Lakers gave me a really good seat one year for a discounted price. My discounted price was $180. The seat was regular, $390. If that's 15 years later, you know how much that is. But you know who played that night? Kobe Bryant. You know what I didn't worry about? Kobe skipping and taking a load management day. Didn't have to worry about it. Because you know who was going to play no matter what? Kobe Bryant. Anyway, I could go on and take the whole hour up. I'm not going to do that. Got some other stuff to get into. I've got some real problems. And yes, I have some real problems with this team right here. My Chicago Bears, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? You got your butts handed to you last night by the LA Rams. And it wasn't close. It wasn't even close. The problem was before this game even kicked off yesterday, I said to you all, this game is going to be dependent upon the Bears winning, will be dependent on the Bears' offense, not their defense. I'm not worried about the Bears' defense. I'm worried about the Bears' offense. And if their offense scored and helped their defense and got their defense off the field, they would be a lot better off. They would have a true opportunity to win that game. A true opportunity to win that game. As usual, the offense didn't show up. The defense held the Rams to 10 points at halftime. 10-3. The offense, like hot caca, and the defense kept them in the game. And they still didn't do anything. There was a 4th-and-1 during the game. No lie, I said this. Cordarrelle Patterson's in the game. 4th-and-1. Turned my head and I say, you know what? I hope the Bears don't run a pitch wide with Cordarrelle Patterson to get this 4th-and-1. I hope they don't. Pitch out wide, Cordarrelle Patterson. Hit for a loss, turnover on downs. Okay. I don't study the Bears all week. I didn't put in one defensive scheme to stop the Bears all week. Not one. Not man one. Man one. And I knew that play was coming from my living room. If I know that play is coming from that set, from my living room, you think the Rams, who have scouted the Bears all week, didn't know that play was coming? And I know I've talked a lot. Our commercials are all off today. The hell with it. We'll get them in, I promise. You think the Rams didn't know that play was coming? Because they may as well have been in a huddle with the Bears. The Bears have a running back. Let me introduce him to you. His name is David Montgomery. That's his name, David Montgomery. So why give him the ball when we could give it to a wide receiver masquerading as a running back? Why give him the ball? Why not run him early in the game and try to get him outside on the edges when we could run him right into the heart, into the teeth of the Rams defense? That's the smart thing to do, right? I mean, that's what I would do. I'd find Aaron Donald and I'd say, hey, there's Aaron Donald. Let's run right into him, the best defensive player in the game. No, don't run away from him. Run right to him. Don't double team him. Run right to him. There you go. Run right to him. The Bears play calling is god awful. It is. Matt Nagy does not know what play to call. I would love to play him right now in Madden. I'd light his ass up in Madden 20 or 21 or whatever one it is, because his play calling is terrible. As poorly as the offense played, listen to me. The defense scored the only touchdown of the game for the Bears. And as poorly 10 minutes to go in the game, they were still only down 14. And the Rams' offense moving up and down the field, but never really putting the Bears away because the defense really held it together for the fact that the offense couldn't do anything. Anything. The Bears held it. The Bears defense held it together. And listen. We vilified Mitchell Trubisky. I'm in on it. I talked about Mitchell. But then I also gave you this, and it came when I had the great Paige DeMarcus on the show, when she said Nagy was never all in. And then you start listening to what he's saying. He's not going to change the playbook for Nick Foles. It'll be the same. That means it was never built for Mitchell anyway. So we got this line that gives Foles about 2 seconds to pass the ball, and he can't move because he's an apartment back there. What are you going to do? And then Nick Foles made a statement that they can't even really get the time to get some of these plays off because the offensive line basically sucks. And then he had to go in and clean it up when he had told the truth. Listen to these questions he was asked by JJ. Listen to this question and listen to his answer and listen to him pull the, what? Couldn't hear you. Repeat that when you hear the first question. Just fine. Check this out. Listen to this.
Hey, Nick, I wanted to ask you about a conversation Brian Griese said he had with you that he relayed on the ESPN broadcast. He said that you told him sometimes play calls come in and I don't know and I don't have time to execute that play call. Is that something you've communicated with Coach Nagy, and how do you get on the same page with your coach in terms of that play calling?
Yeah, that was definitely a miscommunication with Brian and I. You know, we do these pregame conversations the day before the game just to give them information. That conversation, Coach Nagy and I have a great conversation on the sidelines, so there might be times where we go through it beforehand and say, hey, what do you think? And there's times where you got to get the ball out quick and whatnot. But in those situations, like Matt and I have a great relationship on the sideline with conversations and everything. I think, you know, in that situation with Brian, it was just a miscommunication of words because that's not what I was trying to bring across in that conversation.
Right. Could you just be a little more specific in what the miscommunication was with that?
Say that again.
Well, could you be just a little more specific with what the miscommunication was with that?
Well, what he was trying – so when Coach Nagy and I talk on the sidelines, we'll go through plays in different situations and go through the defense. And I'll be honest, like, hey, you know, right now maybe get the ball out quicker. They're bringing some pressures, whatnot. So we were talking about game situations and game, you know, different – you know, Coach Nagy and I's conversations and our relationships. So part of that was – you know, the detail, hey, maybe we don't have the time right now for this type of drop because of what they're bringing and the pressure they're bringing. It's easier with that to, hey, 1, 2, 3, ball out. So that's where the miscommunication lies. Is those are actually conversations Coach Nagy and I have on the sidelines so that when we go to the field, we're ready to roll. And I think that's a valuable relationship I have with him to be able to talk like that and understand specifically, y'all heard me talk about, you know, each game is its own entity, so you have to understand how to play it in the appropriate way.
Spin me, doctor. Spin me. You told the truth. You told the truth from the beginning. And I know what you said, but I'll tell you what I heard. Matt, this crap you're calling takes too long to develop, and you know damn well this offensive line can't block long enough. And that's exactly the way it went down. You know that, and I know that. Matt Nagy knows that. Call plays that are conducive for what you need the plays to be. Call plays that are conducive for what you need the plays to be. And Nick is talking about, pardon me one more time. Man, come on, dude. Come on, dude. And we look, guys, come on. We know when we heard things. Babe, I thought you said you were going to, huh, what'd you say? I said, I thought you said, oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. And I'm breaking guy code when I say this. So, guys, don't be mad at me. But I'm a truth teller. I'm a truth teller. When guys are asked a question and we say, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, the brain is thinking of the answer. So then the question was asked the exact same way. And the question wasn't answered right away with the answer. It was like, oh, yeah. See, okay, I've just bought myself some time. So I'm going to put this together for you. I'm going to draw you a picture. I'm going to put it together for you. And I'm going to do it in this way right here. I said I'd be home at 9. It's now 11. And this is how that goes. Hey, I thought you said you were going to be home at 9. Oh, I'm sorry. What'd you say? I said, I thought you were going to be home at 9. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, I did. But what I meant, see how I just bought myself 15 to 20 seconds to formulate my mind to the answer that I want to give. And see, this is where men get themselves in trouble. Because we're not smart enough to think of that answer before the question is asked. If you walk your ass in the house at 11, knowing you were supposed to be home at 9, you know that's the first question that you're going to get. You have that drive time all the way home to think of your answer. But you didn't. You thought of everything else. Thought about the game, thought about the radio, thought about your boys you were hanging with, you thought about the time you had, thought about everything. And then you get asked the question, and then you act surprised that you got that question, and now you got to formulate an answer. Nick Foles, you've been in this league a long time. You say something in a pregame meeting to a reporter or someone calling the game, and they say it on air. So once it came out of your mouth, you know that could be said on air. So then when it's said on air, now you get the question. Now you act surprised that you got the question. You should have already had that answer lined up. The play calling sucks. It's not Mitchell. It's not Nick. It's Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy, head coach of the Bears, was asked, can you do some scheming? Can you do something different with blocking? Maybe to help a little bit?
There's a lot of ways schematically, and that's where for us we have that. Those are in there. It's just some of those don't happen. Like at that point in time, that happened to be a 5-man scat protection. It just wasn't one of those. But we have those all over our playbook. You know, to be able to help out our offensive linemen in situations where maybe they're sliding to a gap or to an area and they're not on a man to man. You know, so for sure, you know, you have to be able to do that. Now, when you do that, you lose a lot of times. You'll lose some type of receiver, whether it's a tight end or wide receiver. You lose an element of a receiver in that when you use an extra guy to protect. So that's kind of weighing some of that out. But absolutely, you can do that, and we have that in our playbook to be able to do that.
Didn't do it. What is better, to have a quarterback that's upright and have 4 men in a route, or have a quarterback that's running for his life and have 5 men in a route? It's up to you. Would you rather make $1,000 a month and pay $900 in rent? Would you rather make $900 a month and pay $400 in rent? Real simple, dude. Real simple. Think big picture. What's next? What are you gonna do now,
Jeff? This is hard. You know, I've never been a part of this before. So it's a situation where it's for all of us very frustrating, trying to figure out answers. And you know, the hard part is when you care so much and you're trying so hard to figure out, you know, that identity and where we're at and the why part. That's the part that stings. You know, it's like just trying to get that thing right, and it hasn't happened. So we have to look at across the board. We have to look at everything, and we've been doing that. And you get out here, and you know, we got to start fast. And when you come out, and all of a sudden you get a penalty, it just kills the drive. You know, and penalties hurt. You cannot have penalties early on in the game. And then when you have situational football, you can't have penalties in fourth and one to get a first down and move the sticks. As hard as we're making it on ourselves right now, you can't have penalties. And just that's the part there that for all of us to figure out, okay, man, when is this going to stop?
And he's talking about how they can't run the ball because they can't get 70 yards running the ball. So what, Matt? You got a penalty on your first play, so maybe your first drive is ruined. Guess what the Rams did on their first drive? It wasn't like you're playing from a deficit right away. So on their next possession, they get a touchdown. Well, you came right back and kicked the field goal. And then they punted again. And then they kicked the field goal, and it was in the half. It wasn't like there was ever an issue. So I'm trying to figure out exactly where he's coming from. And then Matt was asked, well, have you thought about putting Mitch back in? Because basically you can't block anybody. Do you need that mobile quarterback back in? This is what Matt said.
No, I think you could look at that a bunch of different ways. I mean, there's when you say that in regards to a mobile quarterback, I'm not so sure that that's the answer with that, with what we're talking about with the drop back of a quarterback and the tackle situation. We have a lot of confidence, and I have a lot of confidence in Nick right now with where he's at. Again, this is a process for us to work through, and it's not just one person. It's really not. And we think that I know from yesterday, decision making wise and where he's at, I thought he did a good job. I thought he made some good throws. He missed a couple as well, but there's you know, again, it's a team sport, and so there's other reasons for some of that as well. So we just keep rolling through that and working through it.
Matt, you have any thoughts about bringing Mitchell Trubisky back? No, I'm bringing him back. Just say it. You dance all on it. No. I'm not bringing him back. Only if I'm absolutely positively forced to will I bring him back. Mitch ain't playing again for the Bears unless there's absolutely no choice. So, yeah, is there a possibility? No, there's no possibility. He's not playing for the Bears again. He has no problems with the decision that Nick Foles made. Nick Foles threw into double coverage in the end zone. Bears didn't even get a field goal out of that, but he has no problem with that decision. Nick Foles missed a double move by Mooney, Darryl Mooney, and he has no problem with that. Mitch, if Mitch had done that, he'd have a problem with it. Mitch is not his guy. It's really just that simple. Matt Nagy, come on, man. If the Bears are 2-5, his ass will be on a hot seat. The Bears are 5-2, so he's buying time. Buying time. But the Bears do have to get their situation resolved at QB. But I think before they can do that, Matt Nagy needs to learn this team. He needs to take that play sheet that he looks at that has all those plays, and he needs to go back in the film and look, find the 5 or 6 running plays that absolutely work. The 5 or 6 money go plays on passing that work. There was a point in time in the second half that Allen Robinson had 2 targets, and he's their best receiver. 2 targets. Makes no sense. This loss is on Matt Nagy. and the offense. And they're going to keep taking these L's if he doesn't figure out how to set up a play, how to run plays, and how to set up an offense. He's failing at his job. Plain and simple.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Mikel Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for joining me. It's fine. Tuesday afternoon. Make sure you're checking us out on social media at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K on the Twitter, on the Instagram, and on the Facebook. SportsCave.com is the website. Cave is with the K. And make sure you follow me directly as well at PLR on sports. Don't just talk sports, though. So I'll call you out if you're sounding stupid. Well, I'll call me out if I say something stupid. Anyway, definitely check all those things out. So on Sunday, the New York Football Jets lost a game. I know that's not earth shattering, because that's what they do. They lose games. And of course they lose games because Adam Gase is their head coach.
It's either...
Right? So that's what they do. Gase is going through some of the things that Matt Nagy's going through. The difference is Matt Nagy won Coach of the Year a couple years ago, and then he had the Mitchell Trubisky thing that he could hang all of last year on. And he's 5-2 this year, so he's kind of flying under the radar. Adam Gase can't fly under the radar because he's got awful terrible. He is known as the quarterback whisperer. I love the way they give things names because that even sounds stupid. But he is the quote-unquote quarterback whisperer. He's the one that got all the quarterbacks to play so well. He's the one that turned Jay Cutler around. Only he didn't. He gets a lot of his stuff because in Denver, guess who his quarterback was? Peyton Manning. Yeah, you need a lot of quarterback coaching from Adam Gase. But since 2015, Adam Gase has either been the offensive coordinator or the head coach of a team. And either way you put it, he's been in charge of the offense. In 2015, the Bears still had Matt Forte. They had Jay Cutler on offense. That's pretty good. Brandon Marshall. That's pretty good. They had weapons. I can't think of his name. They had a big tight end. His brother played for Seattle, then went on to play for Philly. They're pretty good. But guess what the Bears ranked in total offense? 21st. Then he went down to Miami and became the head coach. The quarterback whisperer. Guess what his NFL rank on offense was? 24th. So 2015, 21st, 2016, 24th. 2017, Miami head coach, called all the plays. Because he's the man. Because he's the quarterback whisperer. 25th ranked offense. But I bet you turning around in 2018, boy, because last year in Miami, head coach, he was going to get that ship righted. Because we all knew he was the quarterback whisperer. Offensive guru. They ranked 31st. But that's okay. The Jets will call him because they got Todd Bowles out of town. Brought in Sam Darnold as the first-round pick. Young quarterback. Well, young quarterback can't have a defensive guy running a team. Can't have Bowles running a team. What does Todd Bowles know about offense? Because defensive coaches know nothing about offense. Stupidest thing ever. biggest misnomer in sports. But he came in, had Sam Darnold, the quarterback whisperer. Jets were dead last at offense. This season, this is the year. This was the year. They're ranked 31st in offense. The quarterback whisperer, Adam Gase. Adam Gase gave up the play calling. Gave it up for this game. How'd that go?
This was, for me, I looked at it as I wanted to, I'm really trying to focus 1 week at a time right now. You know, I asked Al to do it. You know, he gave, you know, we talked through it. I mean, obviously I've been talking to him about doing this for a few weeks now. So he did it. We'll probably have another conversation. I'll get his opinion and, you know, we'll talk through it. I mean, we'll just see what happens. We'll figure out next week, you know, tomorrow.
So Adam Gase basically didn't call the plays, and he's being asked, are you going to take the play calling back? Are you going to let it stay with your OC? And I'm confused. I've heard this 5 times. I'm going to play it again, because maybe if I hear it the 6th time, I won't be quite as confused.
This was, for me, I looked at it as I wanted to – I'm really trying to focus 1 week at a time right now. You know, I asked Al to do it. You know, he gave, you know, we talked through it. I mean, obviously I've been talking to him about doing this for a few weeks now. So he did it. We'll probably have another conversation. I'll get his opinion and, you know, we'll talk through it. I mean, we'll just see what happens. We'll figure out next week, you know, tomorrow.
Every time I listen to Adam Gase speak, I feel dumber. I do. I don't feel any smarter, I should say. I get confused. I don't know what the hell this dude's talking about. Are you going to call plays? Is your OC going to call the plays? We don't know. What the hell are you talking about? Basically, you were told to turn over the play calling duty. Basically. And it still doesn't work. You know why? Because the team still don't want to play for you. They don't want to play for you. They are right now individual contractors playing for their next contract. They're not playing for you at all. And it's obvious. There's three teams in the NFL that players have given up on their coaches. Detroit, they have flat up given up on their coaches. And I would too. I couldn't play.
I mean, at the time, you know.
Without thinking, where am I going to get signed next? Couple quick things. I touched on it the other day. News and notes as we get ready to get up out of here. Todd Gurley scored a touchdown. That's bad, right? Right? Yeah. See, what he was supposed to do was dance along. And then when he got to the one, quickly take a knee. First play I ever saw do that was Emmitt Smith with Dallas. Streaking down the sideline, knew the clock, didn't get in. Gurley knew not to get in. I don't want to hear my momentum accidentally pulled me across. Because it is, I give you this, of course, your mind says score, 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 but then this is the time you're not supposed to. Well, you're professional. Your mind tells you, don't hop outside, don't hop outside, don't hop outside. Don't go emotionally, don't go emotionally. Well, your brain needed to be telling you, don't score, don't score, don't score. I don't think it really make that much of a difference. Atlanta sucks. Detroit sucks. They lucked into a win. Detroit is probably where they should be. They lost the game to the Bears that they should have won, and now they won a game that they should have lost. Atlanta, they do what they do. They find ways to lose. So it really doesn't matter. Feel bad for Matt Stafford. Really good quarterback. Terrible, terrible situation. NFL playoffs, I've been promising you this for a while. I've only got a couple minutes, but I really want to get into this as much as time will allow me to. I believe a division winner should make the playoffs unless they're sub 500. If they are sub 500, the other three division winners should go in, and then the next four teams with the best records. If one of those records happen to be a division winner, then fine. But I don't think you should be rewarded a playoff spot for winning your division if you are a sub 500 team. There should be no reward for that. If a team is sitting there at 10-6, 9-7, and you win your division at 6-10 or 5-10-1, you should not make the playoffs. Done nothing to make the playoffs. And that is a laughing stock. The NFC East should fail to send a team to the playoffs if they can't be a 500 team. Three other division winners, next four teams. If one of those next four teams don't match the division winner, slide them in. And they should not be seeded as a home game either. They should go in then as whatever seed they are. You are rewarding mediocrity. I don't want to hear how it has been. This is what we usually do. Fix it. That's idiotic. You'll give a team with an 11-5 record and you'll send them on the road to play a team with six wins because they got rewarded with the home game because they beat up on the Little House of the Blind and the Dallas Cowboys, of which I don't know which team would win first. NFL, you got to fix that. Other news notes. Cam said if he didn't get together, he wouldn't be surprised if he got benched or if he got benched permanently. Talking about Cam last night, listen, I love Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is one of the people that helped revolutionize the position to the guys that are taking it over now, the Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, all those guys are at another level because of what Cam could do. But Cam days are in the rearview mirror, not in front of him. And I can't think of one team when his days are over in New England that will sign him to be their starting quarterback and have to rearrange their offense to fit what Cam does. Cam just isn't the same. He's not accurate enough to still be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And if New England had anybody behind him that was halfway decent, trust me, they would be playing. I'm a Cam Newton fan, but if he can't get this turned around and he can't get this fixed quickly and he can't find a way to make it work in New England, and New England doesn't start winning games, Cam, I'm going to tell you what you should do. Call Baltimore. Get that clipboard. Go stand behind Mr. Jackson and get you three or four more years of pay, playing backup, and if you're called on, go in and do your thing. But I think we've really seen the best of Cam because those old Cam days, they're in the rearview mirror. And I'll touch upon that a little bit more as this week goes on. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Caller, thank you for calling in. Two callers that were on the line, sorry, call back tomorrow. I'll get to you. Promise, if you call back tomorrow. At Sports Cave, the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Caves with K, sportscaves.com, Caves with K, PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Check us out. Thank you for joining us. Tomorrow, don't forget, 1 o'clock right here, abbreviated show. It will be a tape show, but it will be live on news. Thank you for joining us on the Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR, and you know what we say now, temptations bring us home.